Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Tennessee.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the only true and living Elohim, hallelujah, who is the reason I am a part of a great family and a nation that's so great. Tonight is another conversation, a discussion with a purpose. You are listening live, December 24th, hallelujah, of 2020. We go live at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you're catching it on a repeat or on our channel, you can find us on blogtalkradio.com/straightway. We're here every Thursday night, which we call Fifth Day. I'm the host tonight. My name is Sister Ashley. I'm a purchased possession of Jesus Christ the Messiah and a possession of my husband, a deacon, under Pastor Del's leadership and submission for many years. So thanks for your time and for listening in. Mother Jennifer, if you're with me, let's get a sound check.
Shalom and blessings to you all. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Yes, ma'am, I am with you. And thank you so much for having me on tonight for another episode of Sister to Sister. What an honor and a privilege it is to be here, to be set free from this pagan, wicked holiday, and just to be able to gather in righteousness. And I pray that everyone can hear me very well. I don't have the chat room pulled up, but Sister Ashley, I can hear you, so I think we can proceed.
Hallelujah. I thank the Father for making himself very real to me. Hold on, let me turn this off. I didn't consider the noise that it might make, pardon me. So for making himself real to me and for fulfilling his responsibilities, our Maker has a never-wavering commitment to each of us, and he's very consistent with his responsibilities, provided that we keep our obedience. And I really thank him for the peace and the quietness that I have in my soul, the stillness that I never even knew existed. I've been in a covenant relationship for over 10 years now with an amazing man. I'm very blessed to learn my husband's mind. I can't imagine life without my husband. I don't know a man like him, and I've dedicated my life to him. He's the fruit of applying what he hears and, you know, sharing with me, living it, teaching his family. So I'm very, very blessed. I can never thank the Father enough for the house that I have and the home, you know, the everything that comes with this home, all the people, the family, the children, everyone that I know and that I love. I'm very thankful for those who are, those of you even, each woman that I know that is willing to love and fight and deny self and willing to submit, you know, beyond their own fears or their own imaginations. I'm very thankful to be a part of the Overcomers. Hallelujah for that. I mention many of you often in my prayers with tears, and I pray that you too are taking this time with the Father to cry out to him. May Yah continue to strengthen our shepherd, for the days are very evil, and Israel is relying on his guidance. I trust Yah's spirit in him, and I understand his heart. I don't have to see him every day, follow him, follow under his pant leg every day, go where he goes. I have the same spirit, the same mind, the same love that he has. So I surrender. I trust Yah's spirit in him, and I trust Yah will rise up and defend him from the evil that's spoken against him. May his house be favored forever. And if I can say, long live the shepherd, you know, for the tribe and the family's sake. I do pray Yah bring out the unity that we need and that some of us are striving for. I pray Yah bring out that unity, you know, the unity of his spirit in each of our fellowships, in each of our communal homes within this entire ministry. I thank him for every one of you who pray. I thank him for every sister that is spending time praying. I really, really do. So hallelujah, that's my heart tonight. Mother Jennifer, your turn.
Hallelujah. I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continuing to keep me during this dead season, continuing to reveal himself to me and to show me who I am through his eyes so that I can repent and get right before him. I'm so thankful to know what it means to have a relationship with him, and for that relationship to not be in a stagnant state. Thankful for his maturing me in that relationship, not allowing me to remain as a baby, but to really desire a mature, personal relationship. And it's just something that, you know, we weren't taught in the world. And I'm so happy to be under the headship of Elder Rufus, who has taught me how important it is to have that relationship with the Father. I'm honored to be able to follow his example and to be under his leading, to see the way that he not only leads his family, but the way that he leads the saints here in Georgia. It really is an honor just to see him serve every single day, even in the midst of everything that is put on his plate before him, never complaining, but always loving the saints without a complaint, without a murmur in his heart. And I want to acknowledge the women that the Father has really allowed me to bond with, starting with the immediate ones that I have in my family, Sister Chandra, Sister Bonnie, and those who live with us in the home, those who live around the home that we have here in Georgia, those who have moved close to the land, who have come out of the cities and who have moved close to Georgia. I love you all dearly, and thank you so much for your servitude to the Most High YAH. As we grow, I was telling Sister Ashley, it's such a beautiful thing to see the growth taking place, and it's an honor for me to have experienced the love of Straightway Tennessee first so that we could learn what that was like, and we can love those who are now coming in. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow for continuing to pour into us, for always taking time out of his schedule to put out so many videos. If you all are not subscribed to his Patreon account, please go and subscribe. There's so much information that is being put out there. There's Facebook Live. You know, Pastor takes the time to go live on Facebook. So many nuggets that were given. Sometimes he's on there for about an hour. You know, the YouTube videos that he puts out. If you are not subscribed, please go and subscribe. So it's just an honor to have a man of YAH to really sit and take the time to teach us, you know. And some may think that it may sound redundant, the things that he's saying, but it just goes to show how stubborn and stiff-necked and how hard-headed and the hardness of heart that we have as a people, you know, and the love that the Father really shows us, you know, to repeat, continually repeat, and to just really learn through that repetition. So bless you, Pastor Dow. Bless you, Straightway. Thank you so much for paving the way. And we would not be here if it were not for you all. So that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Special shout out to Praiseland, Sister Bree, Sister Maya, Evelyn, Carisha, Kathleen, all my daughters, and my son there. Bless y'all. Love you dearly. And www.cult-urecollection.com. It's in the chat room. Check that collection out. Shop. See the culture collection. It's nice. It's really, really nice. I want to support them. Hallelujah. You know, tonight I don't have any announcements. You know Passover's coming up. You know we'll give a countdown as it gets closer. You know tomorrow is Christmas to the world, and it's just prep day for us. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to, I think I was 6 years old when I found out Satan wasn't real, and I was devastated. So when I was 27 and found the Father and heard that Satan was involved and Santa Claus wasn't real. Not Satan, I'm sorry. Santa Claus wasn't real. I wasn't surprised. So it shouldn't surprise anyone who's listening tonight that we don't celebrate those pagan holidays. Hallelujah. We've all come out and been set apart for a long time now. It's really foolishness. It really, really is. But Jennifer, any announcements?
I have none, Sister Ashley. I think you covered what you could, so we can go forward.
Hallelujah. Hey, tonight I have some questions for each of you, and sometimes questions are to initiate a search inside of yourself that no man will know but you yourself. So maybe tonight, as I say sometimes, you might want a pen. You might want to write it down. If not, you can always go back and listen if there's something that stood out to you that you would like to write. But I'll give you some questions that might initiate proper meditations for you. Tonight we'll talk about inner thoughts. Tonight we'll talk about fears. And I think I'll start it off, Mother Jennifer, just walking it up to where we are. in Ezekiel 34, Yah had said, I will search for my sheep. And he says, you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, right? And we can say women. But you, the flock, are sheep that he says he'll search out. And he says he will seek for them and gather them and feed them. He says, I'll cause them to lie down. And he's given this analogy of the process of his commitment, of drawing us to him. And he says, I'll seek out the lost that was driven away. And I think we can all agree that we were driven away, far away, even generation after generation. And he says, I will strengthen the sick. And his intentions are filled with compassion. All his intentions are just. But he also says to his sheep that I will destroy the fat and the strong among you, because I will feed them with judgment. You find that in Ezekiel 34, that he will feed them with judgment. And so how does he feed you with judgment? That's just a question I want to put in your mind for your own thoughts. And the initial answer in my heart is by introducing his law, right? That's a basic, simple answer. How does he feed you with judgment? By introducing his law. Jeremiah 6 says, I'll bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their own thoughts. You have fruit of your thoughts. And it says it because they have not hearkened. And this is not a show about the rebellious sheep by any means. We try to reach those who love and want to change. But it says, because they've not hearkened unto me or my words or my law, but they rejected it, that he will also reject them. And if you think about it, my sister, just a question for yourself. Do you reject personal judgment? And I don't mean introduced to you by anyone around you. I'm talking about that inner man and that inner reflection that goes on day after day if you belong to him. Do you reject his law that governs your life day by day when you have a choice to withhold good or say something or not, you know, to repent or not, to pray or not, that daily communion, if I can say, that you have with the Spirit inside of you. And Mother Jennifer, the fruit of your thoughts is an interesting consideration. Not so much that the evil of your thoughts, right? Not so much even that reflection, okay? Because, you know, you might think about that when you say, okay, the fruit of my thoughts, right? They're evil. Or they're not like him or not like his ways. But what about, do you have power over your thoughts? That's the fruit of Yah's way in you. That's the fruit of his spirit in you. You have power to cast down, walk away, reject a lie, you know, make yourself encouraged when you feel a certain way. How much of your thoughts do you cover up? One way that is one thing that always covers up thoughts is by loose speech and overmuch talking, you know, that will cover up the conflict and the thoughts that you actually have by your overmuch talking, you know, your talkativeness, which is in the presence of righteous women or women who have denied themselves, women who are much quieter by nature, they see right through it, you know, the hurts, the pains, the meditations of your own mind and the fruit of your thoughts. Being overwhelmed, you know. So let's pause there and see what comes to your mind, Mother Jennifer. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, when you said that you have power over your own thoughts, it brought me back to the Shabbat message where Pastor was talking about, you know, how you don't do because you don't feel like it. And so many women, we base what we do on how we feel. I don't feel like speaking against this spirit of depression that's trying to enter into my mind. I don't feel like, putting on a garment of praise so that I can overcome this spirit of heaviness. I don't feel like acknowledging my sin, because, you know, when you get to a place of repentance, you have to get to such a deep realization of who you really are, who Yah sees you as, so that you can overcome. And so many deny that. And, you know, the heart knows its own bitterness. And like you said, we cover it up so much with loose speech. We cover it up with being over-talkative, with trying to talk ourselves out of repentance, trying to deflect, trying to put the wickedness on somebody else or focus on someone else's wickedness. So it could go several ways when you talk about having power over your thoughts. And what the Hasatan wants to do is to get you to focus on something completely different, to create a diversion so that you don't have to deal with the wicked state, the fears, the sin, and in turn you don't overcome it because of that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Jeremiah 6 again speaks and says, O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow in ashes. And this is a very sorrowful state that he speaks of for the women. He says, make thee mourn as for our only son, a most bitter lamentation. You make it happen to yourself. You take yourself there. How do you make yourself mourn? Do you cleanse yourself from the filth of your own sin? Do you have that experience time and time and time again on your knees, on your face? David said that the prayer of the upright is his delight. When you think about that prayer that is the Father's delight, what is that prayer like? That prayer is filled with mourning, lamentations, sorrow, repentance, discovery, understanding, communication, revealing of the innermost thoughts, rejoicing, thanksgiving. The prayer of the upright is his delight. All of heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. So the action of repenting causes heaven to rejoice. It's a circumstance that has to happen, needs to happen. Something in the flesh of man says, I should have this together. I should be strong enough. All the dignity that the pride of life has given you keeps you from repentance. Because in your conscience, you man up, if I can say. You woman up, you know. It's not easy to admit weakness when you get used to oppression. How can your prayer be a delight to your Creator? Yours. We're not talking about anyone else, but, you know, mine, yours, 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 right? Each of us. How can my prayer be a delight? And it would only be a delight if you repent. As I said, even in my introduction, he has a role in my life. He has a role as a comforter and a judge, and we've heard those messages our shepherd has delivered, but he has a role also as a fortress and a rock and a strong tower and a deliverer and a shield. Not to take everything away from me and give me comfort, but to teach me and mold me, break me, make me, and love me. So, Isaiah 26 says we poured out our prayers. No, let me try to find this one. Mother Jennifer, speak to me for a minute. Let me try to find what I'm looking for. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, you talked about dignity and how dignified we are, how afraid we are to lose our dignity. And when you're going before the Father, you have to really push past all the dignity and really humble yourself. You know, it takes a great level of humility to walk out repentance. Repentance is not just getting on your face before the Most High and making your confessions before Him. That's part of it. But there's an action that's required. There's an action that is followed. So that humility has to follow after you've made your confession. Sometimes it may require you to humble yourself and to go before someone that you have wronged. You know, you may need to just really humble your heart and go before them. And it may be very uncomfortable for you to do that if you have, you know, if you're not used to doing that. The more pride that you carry in your heart, the more uncomfortable it's going to be. But as you continue to walk out that humility, then the more that you'll get used to it. So I think dignity is such a good word to really focus on. I'm glad you brought that up. Because so many are afraid to lose that, you know. And I remember a while back, Mama Nelly spoke about fear, how women have fears, and it may cause them to, you know, they may use it as an excuse to act outside of their role, you know, to act out in rebellion. But underneath it all is a spirit of fear. So there's such a refusal to just humble ourselves and to go before Yah, to make our confessions, and then see what the requirement is after that to truly walk out the repentance. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. We had a good show last week. We had talked about, you know, raising children, and we had good conversations after the show, too. We had questions come in and some emails and things. It was really good dialogue with women that are wanting to be better mothers. There's a ton of things that I didn't talk about. One of them was how to teach your child to receive chastening, to receive correction. You're not just giving it to them and expecting them to receive without teaching the dynamic of receiving. It's the same as an adult. You have to allow yourself and teach yourself how to receive the chastening of the Lord, the Master. Isaiah 26, it's 15, 16, 17. I'll kind of chop it up because it says, you know, speaking of the nation, us, the people, that in trouble they visited thee. I'm talking about Yahweh. In trouble, in our trouble, right? And it says they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draws near to the time of her delivery and is in pain and cries out in her pain, so have we been in your sight. So have you been that? Have you been that? The pride of man that says, I got it together, when you don't, you know? The pride of man that continues to harden itself to say, this doesn't hurt. Even the masculinity in you that says, you know, hey, I'm a single mom. You know, maybe I am a believer in the home and my husband isn't. It doesn't matter the circumstance. Whatever has had to make you tough and has put a shell around you, it's not been his defense. It's not been his protection. You know, so you've taught yourself wrong and really going to him and pouring out who you really are. Remember, all of heaven will rejoice. And that prayer is his delight. Don't take his responsibility as your father away from you. If he is to cleanse you, let him. A Ecclesiastes says, I applied my heart to know. Solomon says, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom. It is an application. It is an effort. How do you, as a woman, apply your heart to search? What are you doing to search and to seek? Have you been given a lamp to search your own heart? David said, I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made a diligent search. But David, what are you searching for? He's communing with his own heart, right? And one of the verses I really wanted to bring out tonight, one of my favorites, Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the master, Yeshua. Searching all the inward parts of his belly, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And if the heart is evil and it's desperately wicked, and who can know it? What are you searching for? What are you allowing your own spirit to meditate on? There's a lot of meditation happening in the minds of every single one of us, every day, day in and day out. Whether it's meditations that are completely controlled by our oppressor, whether it's robotic, mechanical responses, habitual reactions day in and day out, responding to the hurts and the pains and the things that are talking to us, there's still a lot of communication going on. And you want to allow the Father Spirit and the spirit of man that's in you, your spirit, to be a candle for the Most High that will search yourself out. So what is governing your meditations? And I'll pause there, Mother Jennifer, because I'm sure maybe you'll pose a good question to the audience. Maybe you got some good feedback on governing your own meditations.
You know, Sister Ashley, I think about David and how he prayed to the Father, you know, and David was a man after Yah's own heart, and he was very, very honest in his communication with Yah. You know, his meditations were, you know, he loved the law. He meditated on the law. And when you think about, you know, the meditations that you have in your heart and your mind, you will know that if you're not at peace, if you don't have peace, then you're missing the mark when it comes to the law. You know, you're struggling with unforgiveness. You're struggling with just even denial of your own wickedness. Then you are not meditating on the law. You don't understand it. And so when you look at David, you know, he asked the Father to search him and to try him. And he said, to see if there be anything wicked in me, and then lead me to the way that's everlasting. And I think so many times we pray these prayers, and then when Yah tries us and he searches our hearts and he tests us and he tries us, and you know, we respond based on what we've learned in this wicked world. And Yah is just trying to show us what's in our heart. He's just answering our prayers. Then we put up these walls, these defense mechanisms, instead of really humbling ourselves and softening our hearts. Then we deny the very thing that we've prayed for. Sister Ashley?
She mentioned the word law. What so nation is as great as us has been given a law and a limitation for our behavior? And a very common question early on is, you know, what law do we listen to? What law do we obey? Where do we start? if you pause that thought just for a moment and you jump over to the fruit of the Spirit, for these things there is no law written. Because you can have as much kindness and as much gentleness and meekness as you want. You can exemplify it endlessly without limit. There's no law against it. So when you consider what do I do, how do I behave, how do I know, you can merely run that fruit of the Spirit checklist in your own behavior and your own nature and follow it as a law. And reflect upon those things when you may ask yourself, what do I study? Where do I start? What's the verse I go to, the chapter? How do we read the Bible, some say? Why not stay at Proverbs 20:27? Just an example. No, you don't have to. Just an example. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Stay there. Pick the verse that's ministering to you and stay there. 2 weeks later, you're still reading it. I don't gotta, read all the Proverbs. I don't gotta, no one really, I haven't met any woman that mirrors her study after another woman. So I'm not teaching that aspect. I'm just saying it's the simplicity of his word that you meditate on. You know, you're not looking for new revelation. And so Sirach 39 says that he gives, keyword, he gives his mind to the law of the Most High. So that's what I've done, for example. That's what you are doing, you have done. So he that gives his mind to the law of the Most High is occupied in the meditation of it. Sirach 39:5, Sister Zakina says that, I'll sum it up, but man, it says man, but I'm going to just interject woman each time. It says that woman will give her heart to the one that made her. And she'll pray before the Most High. And she will open her mouth in prayer and make supplications for her sin. And whenever the Most High desires, whenever he desires, my sisters, whenever the Most High desires, he or she will be filled with the spirit of understanding. And when she's filled with the spirit of understanding, she will pour out wise sentences and give thanks to the Master in her prayers. For the Most High will direct her counsel and the knowledge and his secrets she shall meditate on. He will show forth what she has learned. So I want to present for your mind a cycle that's always going to continue in your relationship with the Creator. Always. It will never stop. The cycle is this. You search yourself. Allow the spirit of man inside of you, his spirit, the candle of the Most High, to search yourself. And you pray. When you pray, you confess sin. As you confess sin, you wait, you fight, you resist. Then, in his time, you get understanding. Then you give thanks. Then the newness of your understanding becomes a part of the new you, and it starts all over. You search yourself, you pray, you confess your sin, you wait, you fight, you resist. Then on his time you get understanding. Then you give him thanks. Then it becomes a part of the new you, and the cycle starts over. If you accept this cycle for every one of us, different seasons, different links, different circumstances, different states, different countries. But if you know this aspect of the Father, you'll work with them and not against them. In verse 21 in Sirach 39, it says, a man need not say, what is this? Why is that? Verse 24 says, his ways are plain to the holy, but they're stumbling blocks to the wicked. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I think something very important that you said, you spoke about Yah's timing and his desire. You know, when he desires, he will pour out understanding and wisdom. He will bestow that upon you. It's about his timing. You talked about waiting, and so many don't understand what it means to truly wait. You know, we don't understand Yah's timing, and we're so bound by our own rules when it comes to timing and waiting, and we think we've gotten it all figured out, and we accuse Yah of not hearing us, or we accuse Yah of abandoning us, and he's only keeping his word. You know, if you read his word, he does everything in his timing. And so many reject him because we're not used to waiting. We're used to just getting an answer right away. We're not used to waiting for anything at all. And so this world has just is done a great disservice, especially to women, because there's no patience that we've been taught at all. And then when we come this way, we accuse Yah of being unloving or not listening, not hearing it. We accuse him of this. And, you know, you talked about rejecting him. And his word says, you know, that I will bring your fears upon you. And when you think about that, he's bringing the fears upon you because you've rejected him. You've rejected his timing. You've rejected the way that he is answering your prayers. You reject his way. You reject the fact that his ways are higher. You reject the fact that his thoughts are higher. And so you refuse to hear. You continue to do what you think is right in your own sight. And you choose the things that don't delight Yah at all. And so that's why he says, I will bring your fears upon you because you have rejected me and you've rejected my way. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I like the word fear. Let's stay there for a moment. I'm actually wrapping up my thoughts for the night, so I have no intention on keeping everyone, as I always repeat and say. My sisters, the word fear is all throughout the word. It surrounds you. Pastor's always given the same account to teach fear, that the dynamic of fear is present with you. When he went to jump out of an airplane for the first time, or maybe even the 10th time, it was present with him. But it's your strength to resist it that you have to build up. As a woman, as raped and as robbed and as devastated as we've been, as out of our role as we've been, just gotten ourselves in a really, really bad condition, there's been a pride and a resistance form inside of you that's never confessed your fears because you push past them. And so in the faith, and as a woman, you really own up to the Father and confess your deepest fears. And you confess that you didn't confess them before. And you confess why you didn't. And even recently, I've been in two conversations with sisters, multiple sisters, you know, a group, a great fellowship, and you can see the pattern of Satan's trickery in the minds, because if I say to each of you, have you withheld confessing your fears before the Father because that thing that you greatly fear might come upon you? And the majority of the sisters, all of them, 100% of them, both times, both, you know, instances, was yes. Like, I didn't want to say the thing that I fear. I don't want to talk about the thing that I fear because I don't want it to come upon me. So you've been tricked because that's how Satan uses his word, the Father's word, to keep you bound. Because it's only through confession that you ever get free. So your meditations, once again, I'm bringing up that innermost communication that happens in your mind on a day-to-day basis is really and can be really laced with fear. Fear of the uncertainty, fear of the unknown. It doesn't matter if it's fear of COVID or fear of polygyny or fear of hurt or fear of failure or fear of attention or fear of speaking in front of people or fear of messing up raising my children or fear of hitting them out of anger, etc. I mean, there's endless. And you want to confess them. You want to confess them because you want to be free from them. Well, what if they come upon me? What if they come upon you? Now we're talking about trust issues. Mother Jennifer, ask me a question. Anything related to trust or fear?
Sister Ashley, I wanted to ask you, you know, this is a question that I've received before, and I want to ask it on air because I believe that it would benefit everyone to hear this question and to hear the answer. You know, there are times when Yah, he gives you a knowing, you know, where he's going to prepare your heart for something that you may go through that may be very uncomfortable to go through. But he's placing that knowing in your heart so that he can condition your heart. Tell me, what is the difference between rejecting that knowing because you think that, you know, you might be confessing a fear that may come upon you? What is the difference between rejecting that and truly embracing the knowing that Yah has given you so that you can be equipped and move forward? Sister Ashley?
Even your question speaks to your level of spiritual maturity, because someone who is seasoned with the Father, such as yourself, you get knowings. You get, if I can use the worldly term, intuitiveness or intuitions, you know, warnings and communications of what is going to transpire, something that you may have to endure or go through. That is a communication of his spirit. And her question is a very good one. So to try to bring a balanced answer for our listening audience, because some of you don't know what a warning or a, I say the word warning, but it's really a preparation and spiritual communication within you of something that's going to happen in your life in front of you. And so some of you might just simply have the fears that surround you and not really the knowings that any of it would happen. And I consider Psalms 56. Go to verse 4, Sister Sakina, and then I want you to go to, I say Sister Sakina because she's a faithful, can I call her a co-host? If you come up with a better title for your job, hallelujah, let me know. She shows up weekly, hallelujah, to post things in chat room for me. Post the phone numbers if you ladies, sisters, call in, etc. So Psalms 56:4 says, in Yah, I will praise his word, and in Yah, I have put my trust. All right, this is a mirror right now. This is a big mirror right in front of everyone listening that wants to listen, I should say. So in Yah, I will praise his word, and Yah, I've put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Now, time out. Because who is the most destructive flesh around you but yourself? The one that tears you down. The one you don't trust. Psalms 115:11. You that fear Yah, trust in Yah, he is their help. Pull it up for me. 115:11, so I can finish out what that verse exactly says. Do you, sisters, trust your own flesh? Absolutely not. Do you trust your flesh? If a woman gets sideways in a Walmart aisle, do you trust your flesh? You got something inside you that's going to rise up and want to pop her in her mask? I mean, really. You know, do you trust your flesh when your child is doing it again and again and again and again and you're frustrated? Do you trust your flesh? No, but David says, I will not fear what flesh can do to me. See, there is a dynamic that happens when you don't trust your flesh. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man brings a snare. Fear of your own flesh brings a snare too. David said, whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. See, it's about being safe from all fears, not putting your trust in your own self, but relying on the Father. Because I'm going to go to my favorite. Well, I say favorite every show, probably. I don't know. Y'all don't keep up. Sirach. We're going to go to Sirach. I'm going to read all of 2, Mother Jennifer. Is this okay? Do you have anything to add?
No, ma'am. Keep going, please.
Hallelujah. So there's a promise that says they will not be confounded if they put their trust in you. Father, if I put my trust in you, I will not be confounded. I will not be ashamed. I will not be moved. See, I can't trust me or anyone else. Fear a man bring a snare to me. I can't put my trust in anyone but you. So that means the thing that I intuitively believe is going to happen to me, the thing that you are preparing me for, the thing that I fear is because I don't trust myself. But if I can trust you, leading, guiding, ministering to me in it, then I know I'll be victorious. So it's just something mentally that shifts. Because will we ever really have trust in ourselves? Oh, y'all forbid. But trust in him eternally. All right, Sirach 2, the whole chapter, but let's really take our time with this because this is wrapping it up anyway. My son, if you come to serve Yahweh, the Master, prepare your soul for temptation. And we pause right there. Depending on what level of fear you've actually given over to or what kind of deliverance you've actually ever had, there's many different listening right now. Some may be free from fear. Some may be very bound by it. It's very oppressive. Fear has torment. It's a reality. It's so it feels, and it just makes sensations come over you that you can just vomit because you're not trusting in Yah in you. You're looking at the thing that you have to face and saying, I can't do this. So to prepare your soul for temptation is like shit, right? To the flesh. There's something inside that you, the Father, his spirit, that you haven't even tapped into yet. You haven't even relied on yet. You haven't even believed on yet. And it says, verse 2, set your heart aright, constantly endure, and make not haste in a time of trouble. Like, I mean, move fast. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that you may be increased in the last end. I always teach sisters, when you're in a battle or going into a battle or fearing the next battle, have the mind that says, I'm not going to do what I know I'm going to come out repenting for. Why am I cutting this kind of fool and acting out of this unbelief when I'm just going to end up glorifying him when I get understanding and repeating this cycle of thank you, Father, thank you, Jesus, you brought me through, and repenting for the ass that you made of yourself in the battle. Right? So trust not in your own flesh. It says, verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon you, take it cheerfully and be patient when you are changed to a low estate. Hold on. I'm not going to go against this verse. But everything that comes upon you, you're not going to take cheerfully. Not yet. Right? You're just learning the law. You're just learning the way. You're having your greatest fear put before you. Is that a tearful circumstance? Not to your flesh. So in your prayer time, you're completely annihilating your flesh and you're in total confession that it's not cheerful to you. It says to be patient when you're changed to a low estate. The only way you're changed to a low estate is through the acceptance of what you're going to have to face, walking through it, glorifying the Father, and in front of the saints in your home fellowship, taking things cheerfully, not dragging anyone down. What you carry behind the scenes and the load that you lay before the Father as you cast your cares upon Him, that's not such a cheerful experience at all times. That's the dynamic of prayer. But to be cheerful, outwardly, openly, with the trust and the confidence that He's given you, that's what it speaks of. Whatever is brought upon you, take it cheerfully because there's a purpose and an intent, and it's just for you, and He loves you just enough to tailor-make this. Like, I marvel at His beautiful design in His chess game. Gold is tried in the fire, verse 5, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. So if you don't click the light switch on in your mind that says, okay, I got it. It's going to be a cycle. I accept it. I'm laying it down. I'm humbling myself. I'm not going to kick anymore. I'm accepting this adversity. You know, I'm going to do what? Receive correction and teach myself to receive correction. And so that furnace is going to be hotter, longer. It's going to return. It's going to repeat. It's going to be worse if you don't just accept it. Verse 6, believe in Him. He will help you. Order your way aright and trust in Him. You do it. Right? Just like I told you earlier about searching your own self, like initiating those meditations that are like really going to search your own heart that no man knows, just you. It's the same thing here when it says order your way aright. Like expect it out of yourself. Make yourself do it. Make yourself walk it out unless you do what? Verse 7, unless you fall. There's provisions if you fall. No worries. But order your steps aright. Verse 7, here comes the word fear. You that fear Yahweh, wait for His mercy. Go not aside unless you fall. While I'm waiting on His mercy, while I'm waiting on my change, while I'm waiting, what are you always waiting on, honestly? One word, understanding. That's it. That's all you're ever waiting on. You know? Because if you have understanding, you wouldn't be destroyed. And if you had understanding, you'd have patience. If you had understanding, you could wait. If you had understanding, if you could look afar off and see why, then you'd have the ability to wait on it, right? So it says wait. Wait for His mercy and do not go aside unless you fall. Because what are you going to fall into? You're going to fall into the flesh? You're going to fall into sorrow and depression? You're going to be encompassed about with your fears and your sorrows? And it's okay. There's a dynamic to that too. There's a place of repentance and low estate for that too. Verse 8, you that fear Yahweh, believe Him. Your reward shall not fail. I marvel at the Antichrist spirit on the earth that's in such a full throttle that just a year ago, it was easier to win a soul to Christ. You know? You are surrounded, no matter who you are surrounded with reasons why not to believe in the Most High. You're surrounded with them. You are going to have to cultivate belief. That comes from inside of you. Your reward shall not fail, it says, verse 9, you that fear Yahweh, hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. Man, I've told y'all I've been in some low places. I walked among the shadows, right? You wiped my tears away. I prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place. Y'all heard the song, right? But all I had was hope. I'll never change that testimony. That's all you got is hope. You got hope for a marriage that's failing in front of you? You know? You got hope for deliverance when your mind is, you're losing it? You that fear Yahweh, hope for good. hope for good, man, at all times. I'm hoping for good. I'm telling you, my scenarios, this and that, and circumstances, you name it. It's easy to be swallowed up. But I will never stop hoping for good, even amongst the body, where you go, man, will Israel ever really honor? Will they really ever love the shepherd? Will they really ever put someone above their own self? Hey, I hope for good, and I won't stop. Verse 10, look at the generations of old and see. Did ever any trust in the Lord and was confounded? Did any abide in his fear and ever be forsaken? Who did he ever despise that called upon him? Come on, come forth with your testimonies. Who? I'll wrap it up. For Yah is full of compassion and mercy, long-suffering and very pitiful, and he forgives sins and he saves in the time of affliction. In order for you to believe that he saves in time of affliction, you must bear the affliction. You build your faith and your trust by facing your fear and never denying it. You will not overcome if you don't face your fear. If you want to overcome, face your fear. Stop believing that it's you that can do it, because you can't. And it says, woe be to the fearful hearts and faint hands, and the sinner that goes two ways. Woe unto him that is faint-hearted, for he believes not. Therefore shall he not be defended. You don't believe, you go two ways, you sin, you have a fearful heart, you have faint hands, weak knees, you're not going to be defended. Be strong and watch him be your shield. Verse 14, woe unto you that have lost patience. What will you do when the Most High will visit you? Oh, my Jesus, Mother Jennifer. When I tell you I've confessed all kinds of fears with this COVID-19, I ain't never feared no virus. I never even feared death. I didn't fear death in my pride. And now, as an overcomer in Jesus' name, I don't fear death. So it's not because of COVID-19 that I fear. It's because of the manifestation of Satan on the earth. And I know that the oppressor of mankind is rampant, and he's manifesting his will in the hearts of men. Men and women are choosing daily who they're going to serve. They're disrespecting and dishonoring. They're all the things that the Bible would say they would be in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That creates a lot of present reality for me. So I confess the deepest, darkest situations that you could ever imagine that I would never even utter on this show, because I wouldn't even plant a seed into your mind. You know your own fears. But I have to state these things before the Father so that I would trust under all circumstances. Have I ever feared that the community would fall, that Satan would smite the shepherd, that he would work his way intricately into the minds of the men and women on the land? Absolutely. To dishonor the shepherd when he's gone, or to pretend to be one way when they're not? Absolutely. I fear these things, and I've confessed them. It says, woe unto you that have lost patience, and what will you do when Yah shall visit you? They that fear Yah will not disobey his word. They that love him will keep his ways. And that, my sister, is a good promise, all of you. Verse 15 is a good promise for your spirit and your soul when you face anything ahead of you. That if you fear the Most High Yah, you will not disobey his word. And under all circumstances, you will not cut an ass. That's really what you're telling yourself. Because I love you so much, and I'm going to keep your way. What is your way? Your fruit. Three more verses. They that fear Yah will seek that which is well-pleasing unto him. I thrive and live off of pleasing the Most High Yah and the men, shepherd and my husband. And it wouldn't matter who accused and who thought and who took me on the chin and who didn't believe it because you don't share it or anything. It doesn't matter. Behind the scenes, when I'm on my face, that's all I want to do, is to be pleasing unto him. It says, they that love him shall be filled with the law. They that fear Yah will prepare their hearts and humble their souls in his sight. I prepare myself now for what is to come. Now. I humble my soul now. I don't want to be a stumbling block before someone else in their time of fear. I want to support them. Right? It says to end it, saying, we will fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. For as his majesty is, so is his mercy. And in any moment of your greatest fear and anything that you have to face, let him show you his majesty and his mercy. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, you talked about how great the wickedness is in this world and how it is just so evidently increasing and increasing. And this is why it's so important to save yourself, to have your own personal relationship with the Father. A lot of times he gets you to a place of maturity where you realize and you recognize that, okay, Father, it's you and I. You know, you are the one that can help me with this. But so many times we forget the promises. You know, we focus on the curses only. We focus on the things that we think are negative, but we forget his promises. And he's always telling us to remember, you know, to remember. And so when we read the word, we don't read it with a balance. So we have to remember that our relationship with him is so paramount right now. And we have to stop looking at everybody else's, what we perceive to be their shortcomings, and really focus on making the proper confessions that we need to make, and stop performing out of just such a need within us to remain dignified and really humble ourselves before him. Sister Ashley?
One day, my husband and a brother, who is a great friend and an uncle to his sons and myself, were out at Walmart, and we went by the park because my husband wanted me to share a very powerful testimony that has occurred in our lives. He wanted this brother to hear it. So we all took a walk in the park, and as I was speaking and we were walking, a police siren went off really loud nearby. Woo, woo, you know. I'm with two black men. Now, if you could see me, I would give you a very distinctive or descriptive explanation of what occurred to them, how they turned their head, kind of did a natural duck, something subconscious that occurred inside of them, that me, as a white woman, I didn't budge. You see? It goes back for generations. Why do I gotta move when I hear a siren? But those two, like, whoa, that was close. What's going on? I'm gonna turn around. I'm gonna get right. Okay. Why do I mention that? Just for fear. By no means were they a fear. These are men that serve the Most High. Yeah, it's a different circumstance. They're very aware and alert. But for most circumstances, as Pastor has taught us, most fear the bubblegum machine and fear the law of man way above the governing law of the universe and our Creator. And given that for an instance, what do you fear? Really, my sister, what do you fear? What have you yet to say to the Father? Because even just uttering it can make you tremble to your core because you don't want it to happen. There's two powerful aspects of Jezebel I'll introduce. Even in the word, I can't take you to the verse because I don't got it offhand. If you ask me in my alone time, I promise I'll find it for you. Jezebel feared two things greatly. One was being a widow, and two was losing her children. And maybe you can find it, Sakina, because it says, I will bring the thing that you have greatly feared upon you. It's kind of the correlation of the verse, but these two things will come upon you, the thing that you greatly fear. So knowing that about your nature, you know, even as a woman, it's like, wow, is that my two greatest, you know? Because Yah knows the heart of every woman, and you want to hit them at their core, take their lover, and take their child. You know? I'm not saying everyone's a Jezebel. I just wanted to introduce that for meditation because Yah knows how to get you and how to break you. And it's so important that you fall on the rock now. And you confess these things and these fears, no matter why or how long or how it entered in or what's the spirit behind it and could it be a demon and all that. It matters not. For your deliverance in time, you'll understand. But for confession, you don't have to have everything figured out. If I want to confess something to the Father, I'm not taking answers to Him. I'm taking desperation. So you go to the Father and you say, hey, it's kind of like saying, hey, Tammy, why don't you go to Walmart? Here's your directions. Bust a left here, make a right here, follow that street. When you get there, turn left, boom, Walmart. But she goes another way. And then she calls up like people do at the feast. That got to be funny. Because you give them directions and I don't know where in the world they end up going. Because they've never been here before and it's crazy how many actually get lost and we're all worried about them. Waiting up in the middle of the night, saving their food and their plates, wondering if they're going to make it back. Is day one of the feast? Where are they? I can't tell you how many times that happens. And so the directions, you did follow. You know, so you get the directions now. Okay, I got to trust in the Most High Yah. Fear of man brings a snare. I got to confess these things. And sure enough, somebody doesn't confess. Somebody acts like they don't got fear. And then boom, it comes upon you and it's going to be something to see. Isaiah 51 says, I am He that comforts you. And who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die? Who are you that you should be afraid of a man, the police, or the governor, or the mayor, or your boss, right? Whoever this person is. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die? He's going to die. He has no power over life and death, right? It says also that you would be afraid of the Son of Man, which is just going to be made as grass. Isaiah 51:13 says, and you forget the Most High, your Maker, who stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundations of the earth and has feared continually every day. Why have you feared continually every day? Verse 13 says, because of the fury of your oppressor. Wow. And it says, as if He were ready to destroy you. Where is the fury of your oppressor? Look around. Where is He? I mean, what's somebody really doing to you right now? You're probably in the comfort of your home, probably chilling on your couch. Maybe you're up walking around doing a couple things at one time, etc. Maybe you go out to work, you come home safe, you do all. Where's your oppressor? Point him out. Introduce him. Tell him to call in. You see the foolishness? You create these fears and these uncertainties that don't even exist. And you say that if this comes upon me, I would just lose it. Let's go one more. I think it's Isaiah 57. Let's see. I'm looking. Isaiah 57:11.
Sister Ashley, if I could ask you a question, I want to interject real quick. Can you talk about the importance of, you know, while we're on this, talk about the importance of deliverance and how important it is to deal with trauma related to fear so that you can really be set free. Go ahead.
Trauma related to fear. Yes, trauma related to fear. Oh, okay. So trauma is going to be a spirit that binds itself to an injury you've had or binds itself to a organ such as your uterus and your ovaries and your vagina when you've been molested or your sweat glands that makes you sweat to even think about the predator. Or it makes you paranoid because someone walked by your door or someone's going to pull you over or you hear the siren, you know, whatever your stimulant is. Usually it's something that occurred to you that initiates that stimulant, usually. Sometimes it's the fears of the unknowns and the uncertainties, and the things that, you know, come unaware. But a lot of times, yes, through trauma, accidents, childbirth. Childbirth, especially for a mother who has never, sometimes it's that first birth where maybe they had a conceited mind, not on purpose, they just didn't know what it was going to be like, didn't know the pain that would occur, didn't know the impact that it would have on the mind, what the body has to go through, etc. So there's lots of things that actually happen to your flesh, you know, and trauma will abide in you. And trauma is something that you can cast out in the name of Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, we do it. Had a sister that was, you know who you are, you probably going to tap, tap, or say hallelujah, was going after eating disorders, gluttony, different circumstances for eating. And we actually ended up casting out trauma from her second child delivery. And she was free from her eating issues, her overeating, etc. Is that everyone's answer? No, but you'd be surprised how you'll find your answer. So trauma could come from the loss of a lot of blood, you know, severe migraines or visits to the ER, you know, whatever circumstance may have happened to your flesh, trauma abides and recreates fear over and over and over. You know, fear of the lights of every vehicle because you got smashed by one. That kind of thing. So it's a survival mechanism inside of you, and it makes you feel like it needs to be there because it's going to protect you, but it's not protecting you because you're constantly bracing yourself. Just as Job said, the thing that I fear is greatly, you know, the thing that I greatly fear has come upon me. It leaves you in a state of bracing yourself. Like, I'm going to brace myself that pastor doesn't come by and say anything. Like, he's preaching and he's talking to me. Like, no, chill out, relax. He's not thinking about you at all. And if he is, so what? Relax, take it. You know, I'm trying to, like, really draw stuff out of a hat, as they say. But, you know, really learn to rest your spirit inside you. And how, Mother Jennifer, can you do that? Oh, my God, tons of deliverance. Are you kidding me? Will you be free without deliverance? Never. Test that boast. Call in and tell me if you're free right now and you've never had deliverance. And so deliverance is an all, I mean, as Pastor said, how are we getting bigger and deliverance is getting smaller? I don't know. How are we getting wiser and questions are getting less? What is going on? Hey, it's fine with those who have answers because they get more time off. But seriously, a words of desperation. My Jesus, mercy. Here's another way that the devil tricks us, Mother Jennifer. We have righteous women that want righteous answers, that want to be free, and they don't want to bother the righteous to get the answers because they believe the righteous is too busy. When the righteous live to bless the saints with the wisdom that's been given to them. So the enemy are tricky, you know, Mother Jennifer busy, like I don't want to text her. Mother Jennifer would love to teach someone or share something with someone that you're actually going to apply. The problem is when you come and you drain like a leech and then you don't even apply what was told to you. That's the problem. But if you know you're going to apply what you hear and you're going to get better and you're going to build a sisterhood and a friendship and you're going to constantly have this camaraderie between the righteous, oh, man, we live and thrive for that. But where's the questions? What is going on? You're coming and going to every feast and you got nothing to ask? And I'm not saying ask me. You can just see that there's no desperation. There's no seriousness. That's why I fear so greatly for Israel. Because what Yah is going to bring upon you, when Yah brought captivity upon his people, he brought it upon the righteous too. And the wicked don't care what the righteous got to go through because they ain't getting right now. And Yah is going to keep his covenant and his promise. Hey, tribulation's coming. It's coming. And it's going to be harder for those to make it and not lose their wits when they haven't repented and gotten themselves right now, just with trust and hope alone, you know. But I hope I answer you. I get off on other things, but really, really, my sister's deliverance is like, who cares who's looking, who's watching? You got to tell yourself, fear of man's a snare, you know. Well, I live in this community, right? And I don't want to get deliverance because it's me and her that's got an issue, and she might see me get deliverance, and she might think, oh, yeah, you've been tricked, hoodwinked by the devil. Your hate nor her accusation is going to keep me from getting free. Watch me get in line. Watch me. Man, there's nobody, none of y'all, nobody going to stand or kneel beside of me when I bow before my Father. So why I'm worried about you when I'm wanting to get free, we got to live that kingdom here and now. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. And, you know, when you realize that you have been used as a tool by the Hasatan to carry out wickedness, you just really learn how to resist him even more on a greater level. And it doesn't matter at that point. You know, you start to realize that the battle is not against flesh and blood. You're not battling against your sister. There's a spirit that is inside you. There's a spirit that is inside her. And so you purpose in your heart to get set free. And, you know, while we're on the subject of deliverance, you know, it really puts joy in my heart to see the women who just come in and they really to learn more about deliverance. And it's not just, you know, I want to learn, I want to sit down and observe. No, it's that they are putting themselves in a position to be delivered first so that they can understand what deliverance is like firsthand. And then they can help someone else because they've been set free and they can go forward and strengthen their sister after that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I agree. I really, really delight in the Most High's laws. And when you see it moving amongst the women, you know, drawing them close to one another and forming relationships and stuff, you really, I don't know, it just brings a great joy over me. I would do it for you. You know, I would love for you. I would cast something out of you. I would hope that you would do the same. And so when you start to see the same love that has been made known and manifest inside of you begin to manifest around you or in somebody else, it is a healing that can take place in the body. So you have the potential to heal another woman and help her heal, I should say, just by your mere consistency and love. So I'm very edified by the relationships that I have. I'm very strengthened and encouraged by them. I'm very thankful for them. And, hey, y'all's doing a great thing. I don't have anything else, Mother Jennifer. I do want to just say, blessed are you, Elohim of my fathers. You are to be praised and exalted above all forever. And I ask that he will deal with us according to his loving kindness and according to his multitude of mercies. And, yes, it's taken me some time to get his word in my heart, but it was through, you know, conversation and speaking the word one to another, asking questions and making myself really teachable, going to someone and getting an answer that has molded me. So what you see in me is a bunch of righteous people that has poured into me, you know. It's nothing I've done. Let me end my thoughts on Isaiah 57. It says, I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and I smote him, and I hid myself. I was wroth. And went on, and he went on forwardly in the way of his own heart. But I've seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also, and I will restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked, they're like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up sand and dirt. There's no peace to the wicked. Hallelujah. So let the workings of the Father's Spirit inside of you search you out and let peace come in season. Be encouraged with where you're at in your constant meditations and reflections upon yourself. Don't get overwhelmed by the thing you see and then the next thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. It's a dynamic
of his love that's allowing that cycle in your life. You can't reflect on your iniquity without his work and him leading. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful, tragic death. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, those are the perfect words, and I will not add anything else. Bless you and shalom.